Vectis Radio FM 104.6, bringing the island's community together.
The general election 2024 takes place on the 4th of July, and Vectis Radio has reached out to all parliamentary candidates in both constituencies. Today's parliamentary candidate is
Cameron Palin of the Green Party. Welcome, Cameron. How are you?
Oh, I'm good, thank you. Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure. We've not met before, but I know you've been around in politics on the island for a while. Do you want to just give us the backstory?
Yeah, of course. So I've actually been involved in local politics since I was 14, with the Ride Ice Rink campaign. Something my family had always been involved in, the ice rink shut, and I got involved then. Following on from that, the fiasco we've had with our floating bridge really made me want to make a difference in our communities, and I knew that was done through local government and national government.
Okay, so passionate about the island then?
Yeah, absolutely.
You mentioned floating bridge. We'll come on to that at some point, but so whereabouts are you based?
So I'm based in East Cowes. I'm an East Cowes town councillor and also deputy mayor of East Cowes.
Okay, so do you mind if I ask you how old you are? Because you said you started 14 when you started.
Yep.
And now you're the deputy mayor at the age of?
21.
Wow, that's young, isn't it?
It is, but, you know, I've been involved in politics, you know, since I was 14. I was elected onto the town council when I was 18, and actually missing out on the Isle of Wight council seat of Osborne by just 4 votes at the May 2021 elections.
And you've got the elections next year, I think, the locals.
The locals are next year, yes.
You never know. I mean, just say, for instance, if you were the MP, would you actually stand? Would you need to stand as a councillor next year?
No, I wouldn't, but I'd continue to support the Greens, you know, making the great inroads that we have already on the island in Chail and in Carisbrook.
Okay, look, we've got loads of things to ask. And by the way, when I said how old you are and I made a point of saying that, my thoughts are that the grown-ups of this world, and call them what they will, if they're politicians over the last 5, 10, 15, 25 years, have all been a certain age, and it's people like you that are going to have to fix it. Your generation, your age.
Yeah,
your age group.
Absolutely, and I've got a young son myself, so I want to see a better future for him.
Okay, where do you want to start then? Because I got your details through the door. What's the most important thing? First question, I'm going to ask everybody, people or party? What's important to you?
People, because you are the ones that will vote for us as your candidates and to be a Member of Parliament. People always come first, and as a party, we have a strong position that actually, if we are elected into the House of Commons, we are not dictated by our party, but our local residents.
What would you do for the island if you became MP?
The issue I've heard most on the doorstep and when talking to people around the island is the ferries. They are the biggest issue we are facing at this point in time. We have a very strong position that actually these ferries need to be brought back into public ownership. Whitelink used to be, Red Funnel hasn't been, but the private equity companies that own them have failed islanders, high prices, infrequent services, and it is not good enough.
Okay, I mean, personally, I don't have a problem with them because I don't use them enough. I probably get off the island about between 4 and 5, maybe even 6 times if I'm living dangerously. So it doesn't really, I don't feel that passionate about the ferries, and I know that lots of people do, but I just wonder the percentage of the islanders that actually do use the ferry, so they may feel like me, not that bothered by it.
So it isn't just about, you know, us as individuals, whether we use them, but we've got a real issue with people trying to get to the mainland for NHS appointments, because a lot of our services are now in Southampton and Portsmouth. So again, that's an issue. Our young people trying to get to college on the mainland, sixth forms on the mainland, because some do, they've had a real issue. Some have even had to stay overnight due to exams. They didn't want to miss a ferry. And also our families wanting to come over to see us, the prices, that's put barriers up for some people. I was having a chat with somebody that I know, and they were saying that actually they can't get over to see their grandparents on the mainland as much as they want to, and they're having to rely on family that are over there to support them in their older age, because obviously that's an issue for them and their family. But also the fact that in East Cowes, on the town council, I've tried working with the ferry operator and they have refused to listen to us as a local council and our residents. So we've tried talking with them. We've got issues of health, families, also tourism. We are a tourist island that massively impacts on our economy. It brings in a vast amount of money. And if we do not have ferries that are affordable, our tourist sector will be hit.
Okay, just coming back to the points you made about you know, hospitals and care and people going off island for colleges and so on. Would it be better to come at it from a different way and have a better college, university situation, better hospitals, and then you wouldn't have to go off the island?
So we have got a small hospital on the island. That's something we have to accept. And there are going to be specialist treatments which have to be done on the mainland. When it comes to schools and colleges, it's all about choices for people. Some people commute for university. They don't live on the mainland. They're commuting over for their courses. People should have the freedom to go to the mainland if they want to. But of course, we need to invest in our island, in our education sector as well. I work in the education sector. I've seen what 14 years of cuts has done. So it needs mass investment. But the ferries should not be a barrier, which they currently are.
No, but just going back to the point I made, and that is we need to have better systems here. I mean, is it a given that, oh, because you have cancer and you've got to have special treatments, you've got to go to the mainland? I don't think that sounds right to me. The last thing that if you need, you know, treatments of sorts, the last thing you want to be doing is getting on a ferry, no matter how cheap they are.
No, I do completely agree. But I think it's the case that a very few will have to be done on the mainland. But of course, we need to invest in our NHS on the island. It shouldn't be the case that people are having to travel over, which they currently are. But again, 14 years of cuts has decimated the sector. We've got staffing issues at the hospital on the island. I know there's been some investment by this current government, but nowhere near enough. And in real terms, there's been cuts. So mass investment in our NHS. Also the dental sector with our GPs. Our whole health system needs a complete overhaul and absolute investment by this next government, which the Greens are committed to do.
Well, let's hope it doesn't come down to the ferries, because I say that there's an awful lot of people that just think, even if you could fix the ferries and you said they're of a certain price, I don't want to travel to the mainland, and I don't want my Auntie Jean to have to travel to the mainland to have treatments when, you know, surely it's more comfortable to have it here. And, you know, invest some money in our schools, like you say.
Yep.
You know, the university side of things, people keep saying, why haven't we got one? We just got a college. We've got schools that I wouldn't say that they were failing, but I would say that they are hard pushed, understaffed, underfunded.
So there's a massive recruitment and retention crisis in schools. I've seen it firsthand. You know, across the island, we've got children being taught maths by a non-specialist teacher. That should not be happening. Why is that? Because teachers are leaving due to burnout, high stress. Our kids have got high stress from exams. But when we talk about the university, I was working with the Cows on Northwood Place Plan group looking at having a multiversity on the island. So one campus that multiple universities could work from and do different qualifications there. Yes, they would be specialists, but actually it brings that option to young people on the island. We've had promises by our current MP this was going to happen. We were going to have a university here. That's not been the case. It needs a real push by somebody that understands the sector like I do.
Okay, just one more point about the ferries, and you mentioned tourism and so on. I mean, I would imagine over the last X amount of years that more and more people have visited the Isle of Wight, and they don't seem to be looking at the ferries being a problem.
Well, funny you should say that. The White Link Users Group has done a lot of work on this, and more often than not, you see on social media, families go, I've come to visit the island for the last 10 years, the last 15 years. This is my last year visiting because it's costing me £400 for a return trip for a long weekend. Yes, we've seen an influx, particularly post-COVID, on staycations. But when you look at, if you live in Southampton, it's cheaper for you to fly to Spain and have a week holiday there than it is take a ferry and have a long weekend on the island. That's not the way it should be. We should be massively investing in the UK and the island, so supporting staycations. And our ferries are acting as a barrier. And I have not spoken to one person until today, I have to be genuinely honest, who have said they don't see the ferries as an issue.
Not to me personally, because there'll be lots of people like me, though, that don't use the ferry on a regular basis.
Yep.
You know, that's the thing, the percentages, we work out the percentages. So, you know, there'll be an awful lot of people that do, and there'll be an awful lot of people that have problems with, you know, family members going off to have, I mean, one of our presenters yesterday had to go across to Southampton to have care. When he got there, they said, you know, sorry, but it's been cancelled. No one told him. And he had to then come back. And you think, if that was locally, you wouldn't have that worry about going onto the mainland. And that's the whole point of it. Look, we've got loads of topics that we want to talk about. Congratulations on the fact that you've got paperwork that came through the door and it was actually printed here on the Isle of Wight.
Yep.
You'd be surprised the amount of parliamentary candidates that have had their stuff printed elsewhere, which again defeats the object if you want to represent the Isle of Wight. So what do you want to do next, Tim?
So we're looking at housing, another big issue for the island. Of course, we have the issues of certain areas don't want the housing. So what we are saying is we need smaller, localised schemes on the island. We have a bold plan nationally to deliver 150,000 council homes a year. A percentage of that would be here on the island, because young people like myself and people that I know are really struggling to, let alone be on the, you know, on the housing list to buy a house and have the mortgage payments, things like that. But actually, to even be able to rent is a massive issue here on the island. So there are a couple of things we would do on that. We would look to bring in rent controls, something that Carla Denyer, our co-leader, has been championing in Bristol, where the local council have the power to put a max on private landlords' rent that islanders would pay, meaning that actually it'd be affordable based on local wages. So delivering those council homes run by the Isle of Wight Council and ensuring actually everyone can have a roof over their heads. We shouldn't be in a case now where people are having to choose between, you know, eating and heating their homes, which has been the case now for many years.
The unfortunate thing with all of this, the housing thing, is that houses have got so expensive. I mean, I'm just going to take you back to long before you were born, when I was roughly your age. A house along Fairley Road that I looked at, thought, like the look of that, £14,000. That same house is probably going to cost somewhere in the region of £350,000-£400,000 now. How much of the wage has gone up percentage-wise? They haven't.
Yep.
And that's the struggle that you're going to have. It's all very well, we can say we're going to build a load of houses and so on, but who's going to afford them? People that have already got a house, but, or they're the wealthy.
So these would be council houses. They'd be built by the council, ran by the council. So they'd be rented out to start off with, and making sure actually that is the priority. We can get everybody into a house that they can call home. But of course, we would look at people buying their own home, their first homes. We need to be building the right type of homes here on the island, though. So not executive 4 or 5-bedroomed homes, but actually 1 and 2 beds, because that's what islanders are looking at. You know, young people aren't able to move out from parents' homes, some till they're in their, 30s, because they can't get the down payment for a house. So actually, if we had smaller homes that islanders need and want, then actually should be more affordable. But of course, we need to look at the whole sector.
I mean, we're going to go back in time, and let's say when somebody sold off the council houses, they didn't replace them, and now we're left with this problem. But where does the money come from for that? You know that the councils are cash-strapped, they don't have any.
So the councils are absolutely cash-strapped, thanks again to 14 years of Conservative government. So the Greens have got a fully costed manifesto I have with me here today. And we are saying those with the broadest shoulders should pay more. Those with £10 million worth of assets should pay 1% more tax. Those with £1 billion worth of assets should be paying 2% more tax. So our manifesto has looked at that, and it sets out how we would bring in money to government. And it's those, two key areas, really. Those that are earning more should pay slightly more, but actually those of assets that are worth a considerable amount should equally be paying more too.
Okay, let's talk nationally for a bit when it comes down to the Greens. I mean, I still can't understand why. My mum made this point at the dinner table on Friday. Why all this Green stuff? Why is it political? We should all be doing that anyway. And are you hampered now because that people may be thinking that? We live in a world that is crying out for some attention to do things for this planet. So, surely it comes on. Everybody should be doing it.
Everybody should be doing it. And, I've heard a couple of times, well, the other parties have green policies too. They do. I was speaking with Jenny Jones, one of our baronesses in the House of Lords, and she was saying she spoke to a WI group up in North Herefordshire, and they said Boris Johnson was great for the environment. He was absolutely not. He put in laws and legislation, but they were not acted upon. There was no regulation around that. There was no monitoring. And that's what the Greens are saying, is we need a bold plan for our environment and our economy. And these two can be interlinked. So you look at insulating homes, that brings down people's bills, but also keeps the heat in your homes. We're looking at having 70% of our energy brought in by wind, again in the manifesto here. But it is us, as the younger generation, who are facing the burden massively of climate change. You look across the world and there are already climate catastrophes happening, and it's on us. And I'm looking to my son and going, what future are you going to have? I'm growing up with it now, and people that I teach are growing up with it. And you're just going, what future are we going to have? So we have to be showing some real hope in this election, which I'm proud to say the Greens are doing.
But are you doing enough, though? Because there's a young lady that comes in here, she's a Green expert, she comes in on a regular basis, and she says, basically, none of the parties will do enough, or in their manifestos, they will do enough to save things like, and she put it in a local way, that come 2050, there's probably a third of the Isle of Wight could be underwater. And none of the parties are actually doing enough to stop that from happening.
It is really scary, the position we're in. With the sea level rises, you look at Bembridge, for example, could become an isolated island by 2050. That's one of the projections. I've shown on the ground in East Cowes at a very local level the things that can be done to show our very local impact. But of course, it needs national legislation. We need to be investing in renewable energies, which the Greens are doing. We need to stop using fossil fuels. We have pledged to bring forward the ban on new petrol and diesel cars to 2035. We need to reverse biodiversity loss. There are so many things we need to do in such a short amount of time. So that's why we are saying, as the Greens, we know we're not going to form the next government, but we would push Labour and Sir Keir Starmer on environmental policies, because that is what our party was built on, and that's what we know best.
Okay, you mentioned the national thing there, and one of the things that I was kind of disappointed with, the lady that is now the head of the Greens, you're gonna name her for me,
Carla Denyer.
Yeah, she's
our co-leader.
She's now saying, as she said recently, and I read it this morning, that she set you a target, 4 seats.
So there's a national target of 4 seats.
How can we take you seriously if you're only aiming for 4 seats? What kind of a noise are you going to make with those 4 seats?
Okay, well, look at the work of Caroline Lucas. Caroline Lucas has been an excellent MP for Brighton Pavilion, but she has led the way on so many green policies in Westminster. She's worked with Labour Party MPs, she's worked with Conservative MPs to bring forward real change. If we can do that with one, imagine the stuff we could do with four. But of course, 4 is our starting block at this election. 5 years' time, we'll have another general election. But actually, those are just our 5 national seats. We know on the island, outside of Brighton and Bristol, we've got the highest green vote as an island in a constituency. I can see you looking at the bar chart there in our leaflet, which should have gone to every home in Isle of Wight West soon,
hopefully. We had two.
Did you?
Yeah, one for me and one for the wife, by all accounts. Hey, look, I've got to stop you there, all right? Because, you know, I think my personal belief is, you've got an open goal. You've got the Tories that are on the ropes, and you should set your targets so much higher, because setting the target so much higher would mean that we're going to have a belief that you are going to be a big major part. But unfortunately, I don't see it with 4 people. The other thing is, and I've got to point out that the graph that you referred to has you going from 2017 to 2019, there was a drop in votes here on the island.
There was a drop there, and we acknowledged that. That was to do with it being the Brexit election. And in 2019, we were standing on a policy that actually we would look to rejoin the EU. We're in a very different place now. A Brexit deal has been delivered. It does need some work. We acknowledge that. But at this point in time, we're not really discussing Brexit. So that was the Brexit election, effectively. And we know the island overwhelmingly voted for Brexit. And we are now saying, as a party, you know, we accept that vote. We need to tweak some of the agreements we've got because it's not working. And maybe 10, 15 years down the line, we revisit it, but not now.
OK, so you're not going to say where you stand on a Brexit, whether you were, you know, for it before. I mean, you were only young anyway, weren't you?
I couldn't vote in the 2016 referendum because I wasn't old enough.
OK. You mentioned, this is probably the best topic of all. This is the most important topic of all, young people and education. I know we've touched on it, but I look at it and think, this is the future. If we don't set these kids up with a future, we're going to end up with far worse than what we've got now.
Yeah, so I work in the education sector. I work in two of Newport secondary schools. Prior to that, working in a primary school here on the island. So I've seen it. You know, 4 years ago, I was in the education system myself, seeing it as a pupil. Now I'm seeing it as a member of staff. And we need to see record investment into schools. We need to keep our teachers in schools. Why are they not staying in schools? Because we've got things like Ofsted giving one word judgments on schools. We saw the impact that had on people like Ruth Perry, who is a head teacher of a school on the mainland. So we actually need to see proper support for our education system. We're saying that we need to end academies and end free schools because we need to have a deal with the local authority like we currently have for some schools, where they come in, they support the work we're doing, so we can better our education system for young people. But at that national level, the current national curriculum is broken. It doesn't work for our young people. They're going into a regimented structure. Well, actually, they need to be learning life skills. They need to understand how, if they want to set up a business, they do that. How they set up a bank account. All these life skills that have been missed now, because it's just so focused on exams. That's not what our young people want.
You make a really good point, and I'll back that up with young people that come in here and is part of the 4Ps. Most young people just want to learn those things that you've just mentioned. Because my worry is that, and that possibly their worry is they're going to make the same mistakes we've all made with not understanding what it's all about.
So I can give an example here. I was talking to one of our Year 11s who's leaving post-exams now, and he was speaking to me, knows I do local politics, and said, I really want to get involved in local politics just to help make a difference in my community, but I don't know how.
Okay.
And it just shows that our young people aren't given the skills that they need, and instead they're sat there learning things that actually, will they be relevant to them in the future? Probably not.
I said to a teacher about 5, 6, 7 years ago, he got annoyed because I just basically said, the system that we have in place is not fit for purpose. It needs remodernisation. We need to re-educate ourselves, and then we can, you know, educate the young people. It's not just, you know, kids want to be gamers, they want to be YouTubers, they want to, and there's nothing for them, and yet that is a job.
It absolutely is.
So we need to change.
So we do need to change. We need to see fundamental change in our education system. Our national spokesperson is actually Vix Lowthian, who's our Green candidate for Isle of Wight East, who's been talking about a lot of this recently on the islands, but also nationally. So again, our manifesto slogan is real hope and real change, and that is what we will deliver.
Okay, what do you want next? Public services?
Yep, go for that.
Okay, go on then.
So, with our buses, you know, we've seen the government introduce the £2 bus scheme, which, you know, we've supported, but actually we'd go a step further. When the Greens were in government in Scotland, we introduced a £1 flat fare and also free travel for under 22-year-olds. We'd want to do that at this election, because actually that's what islanders need. We need to get people out of cars and onto public transport. Island Line, well, where do we even start with that? It's been diabolical. Again, it just shows how privatisation does not work. And it's actually quite simple to bring Island Line back into public ownership. When the contract runs out of the current train provider, the government could step in and not renew that contract and run it themselves. It's been done in other areas across the country due to operators not providing a proper service, but that is what's needed. With the floating bridge, I know that inside and out. As a town councillor, I'm dealing with that and working with the Isle of Wight Council already on that issue. We're going to see a new floating bridge, hopefully, within the next 3 to 4 years at a push.
Okay. Just to let you know, we've got less than 2 minutes left.
Okay,
and I just want to ask you about the sewage water. We can't not let you have a discussion on this. And what's your thoughts on where that's all going? Because that is just a mess.
So I've been working with Surface Against Sewage on this issue, who have done some really, really good work. They've been pushing Southern Water massively. But again, privatisation. This comes down to the crux of everything. The privatisation of our public services has not worked. So the water companies brought back into public ownership. Over the last 30 years, we have seen £57 billion be handed to shareholders of these companies.
Okay, look, we're down to the last sort of 50-odd seconds. General election, July the 4th. You're the candidate for the Green Party in the West. Why should we vote for you?
So the Tories are toast at this election. We know they will not be in government. The Labour Party is set to win, so we need a Green MP in Isle of Wight West and Isle of Wight East to hold them to account. I have shown my track record in East Cowes on the Town Council, and I am ready to deliver real change at this election.
Okay, you've still got a bit of time left.
Okay, so we are ready to deliver the real hope and real change needed. We're going to see mass investment into our public services, and that is what is needed, whether that's on trains, buses, our NHS, education system. We are ready to be the candidate to stand up for you in Westminster at this election. Please vote Cameron Palin and the Green Party in Isle of Wight West.
Your local station. We are your Vectis Radio. FM 104.6 and online at vectisradio.com.